And you don't really have to bury it. There's already a hole there. No.
All right, seeds. I want to get into seeds, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Behind me, I've got one of our many displays. It's hard to see because I'm kind of wide, but we've got some great seeds that we got in. You can get your onion starts or your sets. Can I go on this for a
this
minute?
This is his beef.
It is my beef.
Good morning, Northwest Arkansas, and all of our friends out there in America. This is the Rockwell Farms Garden Show. I'm Mark.
I'm Josiah, and you're watching Two Nuts on a Tree. Thank you for being here. Today, we're going to talk all about seeds, everything that we can think of seeds.
Yep.
And so we've got a really good show, when to start your seeds, when germination rules, all sorts of different stuff today. And so we've got a really good show today.
I think we took pretty good notes. Today, what's the date today? It's late February?
Yeah.
22nd or something like that?
Yeah. Now, when this airs, it'll be Friday.
It'd be Friday.
Yeah.
So it'll be early March, first week of March.
Yeah.
All right. So our timing's really appropriate.
I think so, because most of your things, especially, I mean, what, last week we had
negative
6 degrees, this week, I mean, tomorrow is supposed to be almost 70 degrees.
Yeah.
What?
So we're hovering around 60 degrees during the day and 35 to 40 at night.
Yeah.
What'd you say next 10
pretty
days?
Fair.
Okay. So this is a very good, it's an appropriate show because you could do outdoor seeding and you can do indoor seeding, and we'll get into that.
Oh,
What you need to start indoors and what you can do outdoors and how to do it. So,
all right. Well, stay tuned for that. Why don't we get into the comment section?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love how you keep us on track.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody has to.
Yeah. You want to go or me go?
Well,
I like mine.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't I go?
Okay. Go.
Okay. This is from Diana Snyder. Do y'all carry mole traps? I sprained my foot because of the moles. I'm having an invasion of them. Yes, we do. Thanks, Diana. We actually talk about this pretty regularly the last few shows because it's such a common problem right now.
Didn't I bring my mole trap in here and show people?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can go to the last show. But yeah, we do have some really good mole traps. They're ones that you'll find the a trail that they frequent. You basically just set it down, step on it, and goodbye mole.
Yeah, you get personal satisfaction.
You do. Yeah, you sure do. And you don't really have to bury it. There's already a hole there. No.
All right, mine's from Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. He says, regarding zones, why would the FDA, or I mean USDA, lie to us?
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't well, say this that, was didn't
yeah.
I?
You did. Right. You know, we had a clip go out.
Awesome podcast. I've learned so much. I tried asking friends, but got all different answers. Okay. And then this one leads up to it. Kaylin said, "I go by 5B just to be on the safe side." Well, good job, Kaylin. All right. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
You said last week. What do they have us in 7A?
Yeah. So 7A, the USDA has changed that we're in 7A to 7B.
All right. The reason why I focus on 6A for our zone is because it just takes one night to ruin your entire year.
Yeah.
Meaning, 2 years ago we were down to -17.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, we were.
Okay. And this last week, we were down to -6, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. And if you live in the valley area, you probably got colder than that.
Yeah, and it stuck around a lot longer than that.
Exactly. So when we get in plant material and stuff, we focus on that 6A so that you're not burnt. It just takes one night, -17 degree weather, to knock out your boxwoods that you bought from the south.
Yeah.
So here at Rockwell Farms, we focus on zone 6A.
Yeah. I mean, because we're out there with the plants, we see this every year. Plants that are usually 7A to 7B zone, we're usually replacing the next spring. So we try to stay away from those because it seems like, I mean, especially the last five winters, it seems like they've gotten just colder and colder.
It's getting colder.
For Northwest Arkansas.
Exactly. Yep. So that's what we do, and that's what we focus on, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then I've also got one from Jonathan Gatlin. When will you guys have fruit trees and pricing? So we do have fruit trees now. And so we usually keep those in stock. And actually, we've got a sale on our apple trees right now. Yeah. The apple trees from last season, mm-hmm. we've got a pretty good sale on those. How much are those?
They're cheap.
They're cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll ask Chris.
Especially the ones that were cropped too tight. So they're cheap.
Yeah. So we've got a pretty good sale on those apple trees, and we've got some pretty good variety. We will be getting in a shipment of fruit trees, I think, what, next week?
Yes.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, we'll be ready next week on all of our fruit trees, you name it. Once again, we're very variety specific on that.
Yeah.
So we only carry the fruit trees that are for this zone 6A.
That we know will grow good here based off of years of experience.
Yeah, and you need to understand, here at our nursery, it's not like we cover up off our fruit trees in the greenhouse or anything of that nature.
No.
They are on their own.
And they're all frozen outside in pots above ground.
All winter long.
Yeah.
They'll be frozen rock solid all winter long. And so our theory is if they make it above the ground,
mm-hmm.
okay, all winter long, you can be guaranteed they'll make it in the ground.
Yeah, they're going to be super insulated. Hardy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Totally agreed.
So there you go.
Yeah.
What do you want to do now?
All right.
Time to apply?
Yeah, let's get into time to apply.
And then we'll get into seeds.
Your rock and roll music going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, time to apply.
Yeah. Well, don't turn down. I like this.
Yeah.
All right. Now you can turn down. Time to apply. It's time to apply your Magnificent Seven. Magnificent Seven is a name that we gave our soil content because it is five bags of Cottonburg compost.
Yeah.
One compressed bale of your peat moss. And one big bag of 4 cubic foot horticultural grade vermiculite. That's why we call it the Magnificent Seven. It is seven bags for your vegetable garden.
Mm-hmm.
We have it ourselves. We need to do a little show on that to show people the nice thing about it. Nice thing about Magnificent Seven is that you can direct seed into it.
And you can, yes. Yeah.
And it's the same soil content that you would find in the square foot gardening. So come by Rockwell Farms on that Magnificent Seven. It is a humdinger of a deal.
It sure is.
Your time to apply your Biotone. Biotone is nothing but your beneficial bacteria and your mycorrhiza. We love Biotone. It is an awesome product. Royal Gold, when you're fertilizing this coming year, Royal Gold Grow is the best fertilizer for you to start off with. And it's a three-step program with Royal Gold for your vegetables to be just outstanding. Next one is Five Star Fescue. Five Star Fescue is a blend of 5 different grass seeds for your yard. The nice thing is it's a blend of one seed will do well in high traffic areas. One does good in full sun. One does good in shade. One good for disease resistance or your clay soil. I use it in my lawn. I love Five Star Fescue. It's one of the humdingers of Rockwell Farms. That's and make sure to use that lawn seed fertilizer by Fertilome. Do not leave without that. It's high in phosphorus. It'll make your seed take off and give you a nice plush lawn.
Yeah, everything you need to get it started.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love it.
So, all right, that was good.
I love that music.
You just rolled with that.
I love that music.
Yeah, it keeps a pace. We need that during the whole thing.
I'm jacked up.
Yeah, right. So those are things that you should be doing in your garden right now. Something to keep in mind, now is a great time to prepare your garden beds, get those going, or your containers to top them off, mm-hmm. fertilize them. That Biotone, I'm telling you, is amazing, along with the Grow from Royal Gold. Mix both of those in there right now. Get those breaking down so when you plant, you are off and running.
Yeah, the thing about Biotone is that when you get like potting mixes in the chain stores and stuff, they'll put on there has mycorrhiza. Well, the content of mycorrhiza is so minimal that it doesn't even deserve to be on the labeling of the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Nice thing about Biotone is all you're buying is mycorrhiza, which is beneficial bacteria that breaks down the nutrients into usable form. So that's what mycorrhiza does.
Yeah.
And it has all the other beneficial bacteria that you need to create a condition to where the fertilizer is not fertilizing your plant, but the soil is.
Yeah.
And that's why we stick with organic soils, and we kind of figured out the Royal Gold was the best for our customers. So
yeah, it really was.
That's where we're at.
Yeah, if you're starting out your beds, go ahead and get that tilled in to the first 4 to 6 inches. Mm-hmm. That'll give you a great start. Or if you're just planting individual plants, you can also do that for your trees, your shrubs. When you dig the hole, throw a little bit in the hole or mix it with the soil or the dirt that you pulled out, and backfill.
All right, seeds. I want to get into seeds, man.
Oh, yeah. Behind me, I've got one of our many displays. It's hard to see because I'm kind of wide, but we've got some great seeds that we got in, and we got more coming.
Yeah. We carry Page seeds, and we also carry Wetzel.
Yes.
Wetzel seeds. And I think the, we probably have 2,000 packages of seeds.
A lot of seed.
We went overboom. I did.
And we pick varieties. So we don't just get the regular display that has what they pick for you. We don't like that. Only want seeds that are going to do that we know are exceptionally better than all the others.
And most of them we tested in our test garden.
Yes, we did. And we grow those same seed for our 4-inch pots that we sell here at the nursery.
Yeah.
So when you come buy vegetables here at the nursery, we actually grow those with a lot of the same seed. All
right, let's get into that, because what we want to do is kind of delineate the difference between some vegetables you'll be able to get in 4-inch and some you have to start by seed.
Yes.
Like corn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some of our favorites. We went through and we picked out some of our favorites. My favorite on the corn is the peaches and cream. We grow that personally. I love it. It's a sweet corn, and you can't beat it.
Radishes coming up, since we're this airs on in first week of March.
Yeah,
now's a great time to start your radishes, your turnips. Now, your radishes, my favorite variety is your Champion.
Why
Champion? Because it has a little bit of that underlying heat to it,
pungent,
but it's still a juicy radish. It's a great one for your salad. It's kind of a little bit neutral, but really great one. And then the Cherry Bell. I like both of these because they're both that nice, round, red salad radish. And I don't even like radishes. Well, before I started growing them myself, I didn't like radishes. I thought, these are dry, I don't want them. But if you grow your own, they taste way different than what you get in the store.
On the beans are important to me because these are two of my favorite.
Uh-huh.
You can't beat Top Crop Bush. It's a bush bean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It produces like you wouldn't believe. The beans are great.
Yeah.
I cannot express because we seal them.
Yeah.
And we'll eat them all winter long from the past season. This Top Crop Bush
We grew these last year. Yeah.
It does not compare to what you get in a can.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of beans that we got were crazy. And my kids would come home from school, and they pick beans, and we get half of them before they get to the house.
Yeah.
They eat them.
We picked so many beans last year.
A good pole bean is a Landrus stringless. This is one of my favorite pole beans.
Yeah, we had those growing up on the trellis last season.
So, yeah, I can't wait till we do shows to where we're out there in the garden showing people how to do it.
Oh, yeah. Jess, can you pop up a picture of that, of those beans? They were beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, in my favorite carrots are the Danvers. Danvers is actually an heirloom.
Uh-huh.
Danvers carrot is actually better than what you see in the store. It's a thick carrot. That's the kind that I like, and it's long. So the Danvers carrot is one of my favorite, and this is a cool one called the Rainbow Blend.
Yeah.
I like it because it's very important that you get color into your diet.
Yes, yeah.
Now, this Rainbow Blend is really good. The only recommendation that I have is the purple carrots, you need to eat those individually, because if you like boil them with other vegetables and stuff, everything be purple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but it's super cool when you're doing a salad or something like that, and you have yellow, white, red, orange, and purple carrots on the same salad.
Yeah. That is really good. If you want a really good turnip, this is my favorite turnip. It's the White Top Globe.
Yeah.
The reason that I love this, it's a purple top white globe, sorry. The reason that I love this turnip is it's got a lot of heat. So if you're somebody that likes horseradish, this gives you that heat kind of feel. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Take my breath away.
Oh, really?
That kind of heat. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. Anytime we talk about food, I get pretty excited. So this is a great start.
Yeah. Our producer, Jessica, made the mistake of opening a beefsteak before the show.
Yeah, and I smelt it out. I said, what are you eating?
All right, let's talk about, let's go down beans.
Okay, yeah, beans.
Some of our favorite beans.
Oh, yeah.
Now, of course, your beans, my favorite are the bush type. Bush, you know, are the ones that you grow at hip level if you have a raised bed.
Yeah.
And then you have your pull beans going over.
That's
and we mentioned our favorites.
Yeah.
But on the bush beans, we have the Blue Lake Bush, which is my second favorite. Your Burpee Stringless Contender Tenderette and your Top Crop Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the bush beans that we sell and we carry and we grow. On your pull beans, you'll have your Blue Lake, your Kentucky Blue Pole, and those are the two. We narrowed it down to our two favorites.
Yeah,
those are our two favorite
poles. Kentucky Blue Pole. Yeah, that was a really, really good one. Really flavorful bean.
Yep. Now your beans will take around 16 days to germinate.
Yeah.
Okay, that's give or take. And when you're germinating them, and we'll get into how to germinate your seeds and so forth, but they'll take about 16 days. So we're kind of waiting. We haven't planted. We grow them in 4-inch pots here at the nursery.
Mm-hmm.
So we have yet to start those because we didn't want them to start them too early.
Right.
So we're going to go over as we go down the list. We'll tell you which ones you can start now.
Yeah.
So that your timing is appropriate.
That's great.
And it goes by the time that it takes for the seed to germinate and whether it's a cool season crop or not.
Yeah, whether you can just direct sow it outside right now or you can start it on your kitchen counter, under a grow light, or in a window.
Which brings me to the bean, beets. Beets are a cool season crop. Beets are cool because you can plant those in the cool season all the way through the summertime.
Yeah, you can.
And one seed will give you 4 or 5 beets, so that's why you space them out.
Yeah, I like to do with beets, I like to do the succession planting. 1 week, start a row. Mm-hmm. Then a week or two later, start another row. So
in the greenhouse, we started our beets now because they take 20 days on average.
A little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. So we started our beets right now for selling in the 4-inch pot. Some of the varieties that we go for are the Red Ace, Detroit Dark Red, which is another heirloom.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Bull's Blood.
And the Bull's Blood, which is another heirloom.
Yeah.
So heirlooms are those that you can actually save the seed. Let your plant bolt and go to seed, and you can save those and grow those on your own.
Yeah, not the hybridized. And by the way, we don't do anything GMO here.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
No.
So no Monsanto, nothing.
Right.
We don't do it.
So now broccoli. Broccoli is another one that you want to start now because it's cool season.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes 14 days for it to germinate.
Yeah.
But your broccoli is one that you can direct seed right now. It's a cool season seed, cool season crop.
Yeah.
And the broccoli, Waltham. Waltham is the only variety that I think is worth growing. Well, I take that back. It's my favorite variety, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
On Brussels sprouts, Jade Cross is another good one, along with your Long Island Improved. Long Island Improved has been around for ages. I don't think that you can actually improve it anymore.
Now, cabbage, you can go ahead and start those seeds, get your cabbage going. You know, the amazing thing about cabbage, now my two favorite varieties, let me start with that, is the Golden Acre and Red Acre. And I like those because they make such a big head on them. Last year I was blown away, had so much cabbage. We made some sauerkraut, beautiful, you know, sausage and mouth is watering.
Have you seen the price of red cabbage in the store?
Things are getting a little bit wacky.
Well, that's sticking insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I like red cabbage for my fish tacos.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, when you can buy a pack with 50 seeds in there, have 50 heads of cabbage in short time at all.
Yeah. Under $2.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's another reason why you should start your seeds, and that's why we're doing this program, is because of the price of food.
Save some money.
I mean, it's astronomical. Yeah. I think I paid $6 for a head of red cabbage.
Yeah.
Really upsetting.
We have figured out how to do organic gardening a lot cheaper, because you often hear, well, gardening can get expensive. Well, listen, we figured out ways that you can do it a lot cheaper.
Well, that's when we got in cahoots with Royal Gold.
Yeah.
Because we learned the hard way. We were using so much of the fertilizers that had a lot of inert ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
hench feather meal.
Yeah.
And with Royal Gold, it's like a tablespoon.
Yes.
So that's why it's another hot item. But
now cabbage, back to cabbage really quick. Cabbage actually does better with some frost and a light freeze here and there. And the reason being is because it's sweeter that way. And so if you want sweet cabbage, not bitter cabbage, it actually does better with that cooler temperature. Mm-hmm. So pay attention to that.
Yeah.
So great.
Our next one would be cantaloupe. Cantaloupe I really like.
Yes.
You have two different, this is going to sound weird, but you have muskmelon and you have cantaloupe.
Yeah.
Cantaloupe will be your orange fruit, and your muskmelon will be the green, lime green fruit. It's a lot sweeter, it has a different taste. But they're kind of in the same family, but they're different.
Yeah.
The cantaloupe varieties that we sell and we grow is the Hale's Best and the Ambrosia. Ambrosia is actually a lot sweeter variety. It's kind of like an upgrade of your normal cantaloupe.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very much, you won't find it in the stores. Ambrosia is a very nice variety of cantaloupe if you like cantaloupe.
Yeah. Ambrosia or the, honeydew.
Yeah. Now that's a muskmelon.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Now you're getting into the muskmelons, your, honeydew, your honey rock, and your early dew hybrid.
Cantaloupe muskmelon.
Those are the three varieties of muskmelon. I love muskmelon. I mean, they'll grow all summer long. My kids will go out there and just cut it open, boom.
The honeydew, the muskmelon, last year we had so many.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah.
We were actually giving them to customers that we thought were cool.
We had to make a deal. This is hilarious.
You want a melon?
We had to make a deal with the guy that mows the lawn next to us.
Yes.
Right? Because they went all the way into his lawn.
We said, hey, don't mow this patch.
Yeah, and he didn't. It was awesome.
Yeah, he took care of us.
Yeah.
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 Good guy.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. On the carrots, now's your time to, you can seed your carrots. We seeded our carrots. Ooh. In the test garden, which we just put plastic over it, that's it. I think in the fall, we planted carrots.
Yeah.
And they overwintered nicely through that -5 degree temperature and everything.
Yeah.
Great cool season crop.
Yeah.
It's another one that you'll do in succession. But our
now
carrots.
Our garden is covered through the winter. You want to keep that in mind. Our garden is covered with, it's a hoop house essentially.
Right.
Through
but
the
it's
winter,
not heated.
So, but no.
So it got down to freezing degree temperatures because I went out there and stuck my finger, tried to stick my finger
the
stool in the dirt.
Still freezes.
Yeah, it was still frozen and our carrots are just fine.
Yep.
So carrots are something that you want to take advantage of right now because you won't find them in the 4-inch pot.
No.
Okay?
No.
And your carrots will take, 18 days to germinate. So that's one that you can direct seed now. It'll handle the cool temperatures, and it takes about 18 days to germinate. Our favorite carrots, my favorite all-time favorite would be the Danvers and the Rainbow Blend, which I mentioned. And we also have the Little Fingers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people see those in the stores, you know, because they like those you don't have to cut up.
Yeah.
You just grow them and serve them.
Just little baby carrots already naturally.
Yep.
Cauliflower, the snowball. Cauliflower, that's another one you can start right now. Your cauliflower and broccoli, we'll get into the broccoli. No, we already did get into the broccoli. But,
yeah.
The cauliflower, that one's a great one you can start now because, again, it's kind of like the cabbage. It gets sweeter with the cooler temperatures. So another great one to go ahead and get your seeds going.
That snowball has a big head to it.
It does.
That's why I like that one.
Yep.
We sell celery. Celery is one that takes a long time to germinate, so you'll want to start that now. It takes about 20 days. And, yeah, we actually sell celery seed. We grew it last year, too, so that was, like, super cool. My kids really liked it. Celery was really cool to grow. A little trick is that you can actually go to the store and buy celery, stick it in water, and it will root in the ground.
Yep. That's a great way.
People don't know that.
Because celery takes sometimes a little bit longer to get going from seed. So,
Collards are one that we sell. I grew up in Memphis, and, you know, we ate collards. Mm-hmm. They take only about 14 days, so you can wait on that. But the Georgia collard, in my opinion, is the best collard to grow.
Yeah, we've already gone over corn, but cucumber. Now, cucumber, you don't really want to start just yet until it gets a little bit warmer. But we've got some really good varieties. Last year, we spent a couple days, the whole crew here, just making pickles.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
Oh, yeah, that's right, man. It was our canning day.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of canning. We thought it'd take one day, but we had so many cucumbers it took 2 days.
One of my favorite would be the Market Moor. Market Moor is a very good variety. Straight Eight, everybody loves the Straight Eight.
Yes, oh, yeah.
The Bush Pickle, love it. Small little pickle.
That one's great.
The Burpless 26 and the Boston Pickling, small pickle.
Yep.
Good
varieties.
Lima, okay. Lima beans. We grew lima beans last year. They were great. I think it's people don't mention it much. Not many people grow lima beans.
Underappreciated.
Right. Sure. But you need to understand that your lima bean it's very, very, very high in protein. Lima beans are, and they're good with butter. That's all I can tell you.
Or white chili. White chicken chili.
Lettuces. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about lettuces. Your black seeded Simpson, that's another heirloom. It's a very good lettuce. I like to stick with the iceberg. I'm not too thrilled over the iceberg. I mean, it's just kind of bland. I'm down on the iceberg.
I love the crunch, man.
Of iceberg?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the crunch in a salad. That's great.
All right.
I do. Or on a sandwich, that watery with mayonnaise. Oh, yeah. Okay, we could get. We need you to just start a cooking show. Is what we need to
you
do.
You should.
Yeah.
Your red sales. Red red lettuce is expensive in the stores, along with your romaine.
Yeah.
And if people just knew how easy and fast it was to grow, they'd be growing it.
The amazing thing, I love the red sales. What we usually do is we go out into the garden. We don't remove the whole plant when we harvest. We cut the top off, and it fills back in.
Right.
So we can just keep going out, cutting what we need through the week or month or so, and just harvest what we need, and it pops back up. So.
And your, like I said, your black-seeded Simpson is an heirloom to where you can save the seed if you like to.
Yeah.
One that we cut right at the base, and it comes out into just put your salad dressing on it, would be the butter crunch.
Yeah.
Butter crunch, you cut it off at the base, rinse it off, and it's just like a big tulip.
Yeah. Now, your lettuce seeds, you can go ahead and get those started indoors. Mm-hmm. I would wait a little bit and then put them out. Make sure that we're past that last frost. Now, they can handle some frost, okay? So don't get me wrong. But you want to make sure that doesn't completely overwhelm, because lettuce is a little bit softer than things like cabbage. Mm-hmm. So it can get a little more wilty quicker and faster than other items. But start those indoors. That's a great one.
Mustard, the old-fashioned mustard, mustard greens. Like I said, you know, I grew up in Memphis, and you have your collards and your mustard greens, and you cook those with bacon and put butter on them.
Yeah.
I love mustard greens.
Okay.
I'm a big mustard green
fan. Telling you, we just started a cooking show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're quick. They only take 10 days to germinate. Okra. Okay. There's only one variety of okra that we sell. I might offend a lot of our coon-ass friends from Louisiana, but, you know, the crimson spineless. I really appreciate the crimson spineless because it only gets maybe 3 foot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they're tender. They're great. I love the crimson spineless okra. That is one that you do want to start germinating because it takes about 20 days to germinate.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that, how to germinate indoors and outdoors here later on in the program.
Oh, yeah. But this would be one if you want to get it started indoors right now, again, in a window or whatever. So
we have three kinds of onions, your red burgundy, your white sweet Spanish, and your yellow sweet Spanish. Those are the top onions. And a lot of people come in here, they want onion slits. But I'm telling you, you can start them from seed. It only takes 15 days.
It blows me away. So, yeah, you can get your onion starts or your sets. Can I go on this for a minute?
This is his beef.
It is my beef because we're selling these onion starts, a bundle of maybe 20, 25 for, what, $6.99, $7. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you sell it, you only get, just go buy some onions. Go at the end of the season, just go buy some onions.
Yeah. Or
you can get a pack of seeds. Here's what I did last season.
Lay it on us.
I got a tray, kind of like what you have, but with bigger pots in it. Filled them up with dirt, all but up half an inch from the top. I took my onion seed, and I sprinkled it across that tray. This magical thing happened, and I had all of these onion starts out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get a pack of seeds with maybe 100 seeds in it, and then, you know, for less than $3, less than $2. Two.
Yeah, less
than less than $2. And then you have, you know, in a couple of weeks, you have all of your own starts. Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait for them to regenerate because the ones you get at the store have already dried out some.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's why we carry Page seeds, is because I think they hover around 99 cents a pack.
Yeah, they do, actually. Cents. Yeah, yeah, Page seed.
So that's that's why we carry two different brands, because you'll get more in the Wetzel seed, and they have different varieties. But Page seed, look, you could get a pack of carrots for 99 cents.
Yeah.
You can't find that anywhere.
And they're good carrots. So they're not just the little off-brand stuff.
Get a pack up there, off there. What is it? What is that?
99 cents Danvers half long.
There you go.
And that feels pretty good. You got quite a bit of seed in there.
So that's why we carry Page seed. So. They don't have the big variety that Wetzel has, but I'm telling you, if you want to save money, find another place that has 99 cent seed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's probably my beef right there.
Yeah.
Parsnips. Parsnips, some of you like the Harris model.
Yeah. Go ahead and get those started. Go ahead and start sowing.
Well, you got to. They take 30 days to germinate.
Yeah, so they do take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But parsnips are, you know, in the family with radishes, turnips, beets. Those ones you can go ahead and start now as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the vegetables that do change the flavors in your diet.
Uh-huh.
So that's another reason why we grow parsnips.
Peas.
Peas. You have two different kinds of peas. You have your snap peas, which is a cool season. And then you have your peas to where, you know, you open them up in the pod during the summertime.
Yeah. So I was out on a tree job one day, and there was an old timer and been gardening all of her life. And whenever you run into that scenario, you need listen. To stop yourself
and listen.
And listen. Yeah. You're exactly right. And so she told me a tip that changed the pea industry for me. But start them the day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Start them outside the day after Valentine's Day, because that cold weather does them really, really good.
Yeah.
And you'll have very sweet peas. They will start off with higher sugar content.
Yep.
They'll be a lot juicier, and that crisp crunch to them. She said that she's never went wrong all the days she's been doing that.
We started our snap peas last fall, and they came all the way through the wintertime in our covered greenhouse.
Yeah, hoop house in the back. Yeah.
So the peas that we sell are the Laxton's Progress and your Little Marvel. Little Marvel is probably my favorite. I love the pea. Along with the beans I was mentioning on, if you grow your own peas, it will knock your socks off. All you got to do is just put them in a freezer bag, freeze them. I use a vacuum seal, but it is just the taste is amazing. And so you get all the nutrients from the organic fertilizer into your body. And
just
the taste of growing your own food is astronomical.
Yes. Now, getting into peppers. So peppers is one that we start indoors pretty doggone early. Mm-hmm. And the reason we do that is because peppers take a lot longer to germinate, but also to grow, to get to the size that we want. Right. So especially here at the nursery, if we want them to be sale ready, so we start them pretty early. I think we started these, 2 weeks ago?
Right. They take 21 days to germinate.
Uh-huh.
And they need 70-degree temperatures. So
yes.
You have to have the warmth and the number of days also. So they'll take about 3 weeks with 70-degree temperatures.
Yeah. So you can't start those indoor. Just make sure that around 70 degrees in the home, especially, you know, that's good if you've got a fireplace or something. But they are going to need a little bit of warmth to get going for their germination. Start those early because they will take the longest out of most of these vegetables to get where you need to produce.
And because I'm cheap in nature, we grow a lot of the bell peppers, okay?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, your bell peppers will be like your California Wonder, your Gold Cow Wonder. They're expensive in the store, okay? Bell peppers are very expensive. Your Keystone Giant, which is a different type bell pepper. Uh-huh. It's good for stuffing.
Yes, right. Big Bertha.
Yep. Okay, Big Bertha is a very expensive.
So this is my favorite.
That's one that you...
Big Bertha. If you want to make the
Can I mention the Yellow Wonder?
Go ahead.
yeah.
Is that it? He mentioned it.
No, the Big Bertha. Oh, my word. It changes colors like the Big Bertha. Okay, it's a new variety. Uh-huh. So go ahead.
The Big Bertha gets these long, beautiful peppers on them. And they are so good for stuffing because they have a little bit more of that peppery, that pepper flavor.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a little bit stronger than just like your California Wonder, but it has that good, strong pepper flavor. Well, when that's cooked in the oven with whatever you want to fill it with, oh, man, it is just a knockout. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so good.
That's one that he... Of all the things,
my mouth is watering. I'm containing saliva.
It's like, why are you so in love with the Big Bertha?
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was just the name.
Because I know the beauty of what can be made.
Yeah. And doesn't it change color from green to red?
So it can, if you leave it on there. But I pick them when they are at, before they get to that stage, because I feel like they have the best flavor when they're still green.
All right, because the YOLO Wonder is multicolored.
YOLO Wonder.
Yeah, it'd be red, yellow, and green.
YOLO.
It's just kind of cool.
You only live once.
Oh, my word.
You know that's what that means? Must be a good pepper.
YOLO?
Yeah, YOLO.
Means you only live once?
You only. Yeah, Y-O-L-O. YOLO.
Oh.
Yeah. You only live once. Good. Eat a bell pepper. Yeah.
Aren't you the smart one?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, then we have your, Howden pumpkin. It's the only pumpkin worth growing. And I'll tell you why, because it has a really nice rind to it. If you want a pumpkin for Halloween or the flavor, you can't beat the Howden pumpkin. It's been around forever.
It has a good shelf life. Yeah, it has very a good shelf life. Shelf if life. You don't want one rotting out in your garden very fast, Howden's great.
Yeah, that's why the Pilgrim Screw pumpkin is because of the shelf life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You could do so much with pumpkin. We think of pie is the first thing most people probably think of, but there's so many other dishes that you can make with pumpkin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now let's hit on radishes. We sell about five or six different seeds of the radishes. And I'll tell you why, because radishes are one of those, first of all, they germinate real quick. I mean,
oh gosh,
it says 14 days. I'd give it like 7.
Your radishes.
I'm always on the high side of germination.
Yeah.
So if it's 7 to 14 days, I always plan for 14.
Okay. Now, radishes, like I said before, I don't really care for radishes, but homegrown radishes, love them. And one of the reasons also is because they only take around 25 to 30. You got a month. And you have a good crop of radishes. Mm-hmm. From the time you put the seed in the ground to the time that you pull them, it's about a month, okay? And so succession planning with your radishes is brilliant. You know, 1 week you start a row. The next week you start another row. The 2 weeks after that, start another row. So that way you have continuous radishes going through. You can pull what's ready, leave what's not. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing.
Now, the varieties that we sell are the Easter Egg, the Early Scarlet Globe.
That's a good one.
Dakin is a white one to where you get different vitamins into your body. Cherry Bell and your Champion.
Champion and Cherry Bell. Mm-hmm. Two faves right there.
All right, let's get into spinach. Spinach is one that you could direct seed right now.
Yeah.
It's a cool season crop.
It is.
And spinach doesn't take long at all, 14 days max. And the varieties that we sell are the Baby Tribune, Bloomsdale, and your Early Hybrid, and... those are three that we sell. Last year, I grew the Bloomsdale, and I was extremely happy with it. I'm a big spinach fan. I like it a lot more than lettuce.
Uh-huh.
It's thicker, has more vitamins in it. So I'm a big lettuce fan, and I was very happy with the Bloomsdale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year, I grew it. Squash.
Squash. It's a little too early for squash.
Mm-hmm.
Squash grows, as you know, fast. If you've ever grown it, you have too much of it. So it grows very fast. So I would hold off till temps rise up a little bit. When you're out planting your tomatoes, great time to plant your squash.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
And you have your black zucchini. It's another heirloom.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So you can collect the seeds on that. And then your butternut waltham. Okay. I like the butternut squash. You cut it in half, put it in the oven with brown sugar and butter.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Your commander crookneck, we have crookneck and your straight neck. I prefer the straight neck. Crookneck sells it 2-1, but I like the straight neck because it's just straight and you get more meat on it.
Yeah, I like both of them with butter and a slice of cheese.
I don't think you
I
care.
Don't care which one it I is.
spaghetti squash and your table queen acorn. That one doesn't sell well. But
it's such a good one. The acorn.
It's a very good one.
It's a sweet squash. Yes. It's a little bit sweet. So
So I think people should broaden their horizon and try it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's one of them. I love it in the oven. Swiss chard is one that you can start direct seed right now.
Yep.
It takes 16 days to germinate, actually less than that, 10 days. And I like the Swiss chard because it's multicolored and gives you that color into your body. The more color that you have in your vegetables, you'll get different vitamins, like your K. K is one that you don't get much, vitamin K, and it's very essential to a healthy body. Tomatoes. Yeah.
Yeah, way too early for tomatoes. Yeah. But boy, are they beautiful. So we don't start these early. You know, we talked about the peppers, that we have to start those way early. Tomatoes, no, because they grow so fast, we're overwhelmed by the time it comes to sell. And so those we wait on because they grow so fast. There's no need to start them. They'll be up and going in a matter of days.
But as far as varieties are concerned, dude, listen. We have the Beefmaster, Beefsteak, Better Boy, Big Boy, Big Beef, Brandywine Pink, Celebrity, Cherokee Purple, Early Girl, Mar Globe, Roma, Rutgers, Super Sweet 100, Yellow Pear.
Wow.
That's some tomatoes.
Yeah.
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 Because I've always said, guys' world can be going to hell in a May basket, but if his tomatoes are good, he's good. And tomatoes are expensive in the store. I don't care how you slice it.
We try so hard not to, unless we have to, get tomatoes in the store. For us, it's a seasonal thing because they don't taste the same in the store.
No.
They're not juicy. They have no flavor. Yeah. Even if you put salt on them, they're just, you know. So we just wait.
If you want flavor, use that Imperial Boost.
No kidding.
As your finisher, and you will have the best tomatoes you've ever had in your life. That's what turned me on to Royal Gold is when I use their Imperial Boost.
Absolutely. All the way, especially with your tomatoes and pepper plants, you know, there are different stages of life in those. Mm-hmm. And so those different stages require different things at that time. Mm-hmm. Rather than just going with an all-purpose, which they do have an all-purpose, and there is a time and place for all-purpose, but with some of these varieties, it just makes sense to go with those stages.
Yep.
And because this lasts so much longer and they're using way less, it's a lot cheaper. So. Right.
Come from the South, I have to mention turnips.
Uh-huh.
Turnips is one to where you can eat the whole plant. You can eat the greens. Turnip greens are awesome. Uh-huh. And you eat the turnip itself.
Yeah.
So it's a multifunctional vegetable.
It's good.
Purple top white globe, you mentioned it, I think.
Yeah.
It's one of your favorites. And watermelon crimson. You can't beat the crimson watermelon. It's the sweetest on the market. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Only takes 14 days to germinate. So if you'll just let me recap on some of the different types of seeds, the ones that germinate take a long time to germinate. Well, let's talk about the ones that you could direct seed right now. That would be, and correct me if I'm wrong,
uh-huh.
Your beets.
Yes.
Your Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
Cabbage.
Uh-huh.
Parsnips.
Mm-hmm.
Radishes.
Yep.
Spinach.
Mm-hmm.
Swiss chard. And that's it. You could direct seed those now.
Yeah.
And the ones that you want to do indoors.
Yeah.
Okay. That take a long time to germinate would be your, you disagreed with me on beets, your eggplant. Start those indoors. Your lima beans.
Uh-huh.
It's a summer crop, but start indoors. Takes a long time. Okra.
Yes.
All your peppers.
All of your peppers,
Okay. Rutabaga. Can you start those outdoors right now? I don't think I would.
I don't know if I'd start rutabaga. Okay.
They take 3 weeks to germinate, so start those indoors.
Okay.
Right? And, that's it. Those are the ones that take a long time.
That's pretty good. Indoors. So why don't we get into germination, things that have helped us out here at the nursery, what to do and what not to do.
Okay. First of all, let's address doing it indoors,
mm-hmm.
okay? Here at Rockwell Farms, if you buy our seed from us, what we do is
These awesome little plug trays.
This is a 51-count plug tray. And when you buy your seeds here, we give you the plug tray. So yeah, that's like super cool.
Yeah.
And so all you have to do is, you know, if you want three tomato plants of one variety, there you go. You got three holes. And so you could just mark them with Pixie Six or something of that nature. But yeah, this one tray, you can start 51 seeds yeah for your upcoming vegetable garden.
And it makes it a whole lot easier to pot those up when it goes to transplant. You just plop them out, stick them in.
Yeah. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I started this special pepper for a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And because peppers take a long time to germinate,
uh-huh,
and they have to have that warmer temperatures. So I have them growing in a 51-count tray.
I've been using these same things for, you know, our alyssum and salvia, yeah, different seeds. You know what? Also, I want to touch base with something. I know we're getting into germination, but a great way to store your seeds. You know, you mentioned that you use you freeze yours.
Yeah.
I had a neighbor. Her name's Melanie. She's awesome. But she showed me this one day. She's got a photo album, basically. You know, those little slides that you put in there? And you can basically just store all your seeds. So for those of you out there that need help on storing seed, there's so many basic things that you could do. Before this, I was driving my wife crazy. I had little boxes of seed all over the place.
Now you're organized.
So now I'm a little bit organized. So yeah, just simple things that you could do to keep organized, keep everything on track.
And, you know, you could do it this way. The longer that you store seed, your germination rate does go down.
Sure.
But there's three ways of doing it. Getting into storing seed, your enemy would be moisture.
Uh-huh.
Moisture is your number one enemy. So they need to be dry.
Yeah,
but yet they still have to have oxygen. So do not seal them into a vacuum seal because you're sucking out all the oxygen and they won't last.
Mm-hmm.
Seeds have to have oxygen and have to have a cool environment with no moisture.
Okay.
So that's why a lot of people put them in jars and put them in the cellar. Or you can freeze your seed. Mm-hmm. You have long-term storage, medium storage, and short-term.
Uh-huh.
This I would consider short-term. It'll last 1 to 5 years.
Okay. Yeah.
And then if you have midterm storage, you can put those in the refrigerator,
yeah,
which will give you longer than 5 years. And if you have long term storage, you put them in the freezer. And I have mine in baggies in the freezer to where they are sealed, but yet have oxygen and they're, they'll last close to 12.
Yeah. 10. Well, also like with stratification.
Yeah.
A lot of things need, what is stratification? It's basically needs a cold process for it to germinate properly. Mm-hmm. And so that would happen naturally by seed like falling in the fall off the plant or the flower. And then it goes through that stratification through those cold winter months and then germinating in the spring. So, you know, and then you also have things like scarification where, you know, like a bird, naturally scarification, a bird will eat it. It grinds in its gizzard and it drops it.
That's why you have cedar trees underneath the power lines.
Yeah, because those birds sit on the power lines and you do.
Yep.
We're on fence rows. Yeah. Yep.
Can I get back to my plug trays?
Let's do it.
So this right here, and we give these to you for your seed germination, so it's really good. I like the smaller one because it doesn't take as much as your soil. And the soil that we sell here at the nursery is the Fertilome seed and cutting mix.
Good mix.
It's a very good mix. Fertilome's been around before you and I were born. And it's a lot less expensive than the Hooplas out there. Just it's the same seed germination mix that we use here at the nursery, and so that's why we sell it.
Yeah.
So this is one to where you can have if you have a small space, 51 count, and we give these to you if you buy your seed. This is a little bigger. Oop.
Ta-da. 50 count, yeah.
Yeah, 50 count. We start carrots in this because they're very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this is really crops. Good. This is good for carrots or those seeds to where you want to start real early and get
need
a lot
some
of growth.
Space. Yeah. 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 Need a little bit more space.
And then we have a Mama Jama if you want this.
Yeah. So that one's basically equivalent to a 3-inch pot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is pretty good. So if you have to pot up, you can skip to that. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't want to pot up, just go ahead and start your seeds in that. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't hurt you either.
Exactly.
So
we have three different sizes that are free to those people that buy our seeds. So I think that's just a super cool program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now I want to talk about conditions for direct seeding. for outdoors conditions for direct seeding, make sure that you use Josiah's favorite word.
Loamy.
Loamy. There you go. Loamy, yeah.
you want, it's very, very, very important that your soil is drains well. If it doesn't drain well, your seed will not germinate. It'll rot out.
Yeah.
Because you have to have that oxygen content, and that's why we like the seed and cutting mix.
Yeah, and you don't want root rot, which this will allow you not to get that root rot. It's really easy mix. It's smaller. Smaller pieces, smaller vermiculite, works great.
So for outdoor season, we did list off some of those vegetables that you can do outdoors, like cabbage. This time of year, you can do that outdoors. But if it takes has a long germination rate, or if it's a warm season crop, like your peppers or your tomatoes and stuff like that, you'll want to do it indoors. And now you're talking about using a 51-count tray, the small tray, probably. And because it doesn't take up much room. Use your seed and cutting mix. They've already done the thinking for you as far as your water and aeration rate is concerned. But make sure that you keep your soil moist throughout the germination process, because it needs the shell of the seed has to imbibe that water for it to germinate.
So now what's your thoughts on soaking seed?
Okay, yeah. That brings, okay.
Yeah.
That's a very hot item to me, because that's something that people don't know much about.
Okay.
You can decrease your rate of germination, or your timing of germination, in half if you soak your seed for about 5 to 6 hours before, or you can soak them overnight, like your beans.
Beans, peas, yeah. Yeah,
soak them overnight. It will blow your mind how fast they'll germinate if you soak your seed. Now, even on top of that, if you want quick growth after it's germinated, soak your seeds. This is a trick. It's a great trick. Soak your seed in 10% liquid seaweed solution. Because what you're doing is that there's a word, imbibe. You'll hear me use that a lot with seed. The seed is dry in nature because that's what it just is. So when you add, when water comes in contact with something really dry, it imbibes, meaning it's almost a chemical reaction. The seed will absorb the water. And if you have seaweed inside the water, then when that seed germinates, it will feed off of its shell.
Yeah.
And you get not only better germination, but you get a quicker rate of those cotyledons, which are the first true leaves coming up. And then with the liquid seedweed, I like this brand because it's inexpensive and it works really well.
Sure.
You can fertilize your seedlings because it can't handle the regular fertilizer because it's actually toxic at that point. Liquid seedweed, use this to fertilize your cotyledons when they first germinate. And then when they get out into a garden, yeah, you use your granulars. But while they're in that transplant stage, use your liquid seedweed.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had actually used a fish fertilizer by Neptune in the greenhouse. Quick tip on using fish fertilizer in a closed environment. It's going to smell like a nasty aquarium for a little while. So keep that in mind. Okay.
Yeah. And I feel like that fish fertilizer was too strong. Think about seaweed is it's very high in protein. This company, and you can even get into the different where they get it. This is Norwegian kelp, actually, which has the highest protein content of seaweed. So I highly recommend that you soak your seeds in 10% solution of seaweed and then fertilize it with seaweed until you're ready to transplant them.
Now, even the smaller seeds, it'll be much harder to do.
Yeah, yeah, you can't soak
them. So could you just water those in with the liquid seaweed?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. That's a very good point. And for your smaller seeds, that's why your seed and cutting mix is so good, because it's a micron compared to the regular potting mix that you have.
Yeah, with bigger pieces.
And therefore, you have the soil is more in contact with the seed than your bigger micron potting mix.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. All right. Now what I want to talk about is we talked about temperature. We talked about soil. We just talked about watering. Okay. Make sure that you don't let your seed dry out, because then it's game over.
Correct.
All right. So that always is regulated by how much temperature you have. I germinate my seed indoors at around 70 degrees, which means that I have to water every 3 days. And when I water my soil, I water it completely and let it drain out the bottom, because your water will evaporate up okay?
Yeah.
So that's why I water all the way through. I don't mist. I water all the way through every 3 days at 70 degrees.
Now, if you're starting your seed indoor, something you want to watch out for is the when they start to get a little bit lanky and a little bit ugly and droopy or floppy, your seedlings, that might be a sign that, for one, you might have too much water or not enough sunlight. Mm-hmm. And so there is a fine line. So most of your seeds, obviously, they germinate in the dark because they're under the dirt. But then when they start to come up, you also don't want high, bright light on those because mm-hmm. it can burn them up. So there's a fine line of what your seeds need if you're starting these indoors. So keep an eye on them. Your plant will always tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
So if you're in tune and you're paying attention to your plants, it'll tell you what's going on. If you have questions, you can always contact us or other gardeners around you. But pay attention to that. So if they start getting really, like, especially tomatoes do this most often,
yeah,
where they'll be like a small little thin, but they're starting to get big and starting to fall over. Mm-hmm. That might be a sign that you have either too much water or not enough light.
Yeah.
So just pay attention.
And you can always rectify that with tomatoes by planting them deep, because yeah. they will root on their stem. Now, I do want to hopefully, I know we're running out of time, but I want to do a show on the how we transplant our plants and how we take care of them after the seedling stage.
Sure. Yeah, that's great.
That'd be a good show.
It would be. We all can right. do that on another thing. So.
All right. So how can people find this show?
Yeah. So, hey, if you're watching us on YouTube, I want to remind you, if you have gardening questions, you can ask us in the comments, or you can also email us at rockwellfarms.com. Go to our website. You'll find a link where you can ask that question or email us. And then also you can find us on Pandora, Spotify, and Amazon Music, which is awesome. If you don't have time to watch the show, you can certainly listen.
Yeah.
And you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
Good job. So,
yeah.
Hey, thanks everybody for joining us. We hope that you appreciate the show, and like us if you like us.
Great. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.